Dear congregation of Georgetown, as you know, we're not going to be able to worship in our sanctuary this Sunday morning and evening. But that does not mean that we do not bring our worship and praise to God today. We're going to be doing that together in our individual homes and families. So I'm asking that you are not only gathered together now as a family, but that you have your Bible and Psalters, as we're also going to sing a few Psalters as well. And that we remember right now that by God's grace, we are one body in the Lord Jesus Christ with one hope, one Lord, and one faith. And in these troublous days, we want to bring to God our worship. Let's begin by hearing his word of blessing. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of Jehovah, who has made heaven and earth. May grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from Jesus Christ our Lord, and from our Heavenly Father, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us sing together our opening doxology. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray that thou will draw near to us as we draw nigh to thee in this morning. Thou art the sovereign, and thou hast arranged the circumstances of our worship, taking it from the body of believers joined together now to our own individual homes. We lift up our prayers to thee, for we feel special need of thy grace. We feel special need that we might hear thy word speak to us in this day. And remind us with all the events of the past weeks that although all changes and though fear seizes upon many, that thou art forever the same, and that we desire to bring thee worship in this day. Uphold our faith in these days. We pray that we may not walk in fear, but in faith. Uphold us, Lord, as a nation. We pray that thou wilt grant wisdom to our leaders, to this nation, as they address the coronavirus, and we pray that these means that they are using may be used of thee to prevent the spread of this virus. And give us thy grace as it has brought many, many different changes into our lives, that we may keep a steadfast eye upon thee. And we ask also that in all of these things we may hear his footsteps. For he spoke to us that there would be pestilence and famine and plagues. May we hear his footstep, that he is coming, and may we have a perfect confidence that thou art the sovereign and that thou art in control of all things. We pray for our homes, we pray for our families, and we pray for our children. Remember especially our mothers, as many changes and many responsibilities have come upon them. Children home from school. And we ask, O Lord, that thou wilt sustain our wives and mothers, for upon them especially falls the challenges and the struggles that these events have brought. We pray for our fathers and for those who work and for the fear of one's business and for the fear of one's job and fears of the economy. We pray that we may also in these things know that thou hast promised to provide us. Fear not, said our Savior. Our Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of. May we truly have that trust in thee. Bless, O Lord, the aged, those who are confined, those who are isolated, those who are quarantined. We ask for grace for them and for the aged. When pestilence walketh at noonday, thou hast said that thou wilt be our strength and our guide, and we pray that we may feel that in our homes, wherever we are, in nursing home or in our own home. And we pray for this same comfort, Lord, for our children, that they too may not be afraid, but put their trust in thee. We ask, O Lord, for the blessing of thee, our God, upon the decisions of our classes in this past week, especially, Heavenly Father, concerning the release of Reverend David Overway from the ministry, not only in hope, but from the office of the ministry. Our hearts are truly touched by these things, and we pray that we may see that the gift of the ministry and the gifts for the ministry are thine, and that thou dost give them, and that thou dost also, for thy glory and good and our good, withdraw them. Remember David and Rebecca Overway and their family, that they may see the good hand of God, trust wholly in that hand, and submit themselves with grace and peace in their hearts. We thank the Heavenly Father for the ministry that he performed in our churches, for the sermons, for the pastoral work, for the meetings. We thank thee for that ministry and remind each minister and each office bearer that the office and the ability to perform that office is a gift, that it is not ours, that it is given to us through Jesus Christ by the church. And so we ask that thou would work in our office bearers in our church and denomination great humility, great dependence, and great faithfulness to thee. Bless our churches. Remember our vacant churches. Give us, Lord, men for the ministry of the Word of God. Work in their hearts that they feel that call. Remember, Lord, Reverend Matani and his family, as now we have been told that he will not be able to enter into Singapore. He felt in his heart a call to minister to thy saints. Now, Heavenly Father, if he cannot do that in Singapore, bless him as he is declared eligible for a call in our churches. We remember Reverend and Deb Blyenberg as they await the time that they can cross over the Canadian border to take up their labors in Lacombe, be near to them, and Reverend Marcus and his family be near to them as well. Bless the sick. Bless those who are gravely ill. Be near to the lonely, to the distraught. Bless each one of our homes, our marriages, our personal trials and struggles. Be near to the depressed. Be near to those who are overwhelmed. Be near to the burden. Be near to those who are tempted. Strike and bring repentance into the hearts of the wayward and grant us all that daily repentance. Forgive us now of our sins, even as we forgive one another of their trespasses. Bless us in this day. Hear our prayers, O Lord, for we have prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a word this morning about our offerings. The deacons have asked that you send your general fund and benevolent offerings to the mail address that was given in the bulletin and in different emails, and that the rest of the special offerings that they hope they can catch up on in the coming offerings of this year. Let's open our psalters together, and we're going to sing from number 126. Number 126 in the Psalter, an arrangement of Psalm 46. And let's sing this morning the stanzas 1, God is our refuge and our strength and our ever-present aid, 1, 2, and 5. Stanzas 1, 2, and 5, 126. We open our Bibles together this morning to God's Word in Isaiah chapter 43. And we're going to read at this time the first 7 verses of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 43. This is God's Word to us this morning. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. spend a moment meditating together on the first verse of this beautiful chapter. These words, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." It is of utmost importance that we hear the voice of God speaking in our hearts today, and that we hear him say, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine." Not just that we mentally have them register in our mind that God is saying this and that it's written in the Bible, but that we, by the grace of God, hear them in the heart, that we literally hear his voice. We have heard in these last weeks the voice of God in our land. The whole earth has heard his voice. And that voice is clear. I am God alone, and there is no other refuge, no other strength but me. We have heard the voice of Jesus saying to us, his children, "I am coming. These are my footsteps." But we know that God speaks most powerfully to us, not simply through the events of our life and these events, but that he speaks most powerfully to us through his word, through Christ. And these, though written in the Old Testament, are the words of Jesus Christ. "For I have redeemed thee." Who is that? That's Jesus. "Fear not." And so we want to spend a moment this morning hearing these special and precious words from Jesus, that still small voice that Elijah heard in the mountain, the voice that the disciples heard when they were on the storm-tossed sea in the boat with Jesus, when he stilled the waves and the wind and said, "Peace, be still, it is I." We want to hear that in our hearts. And we know that it's our fear that clogs our ears, that we cannot hear so often because of our fears. And what confronts us, especially with the coronavirus, added to all of the other struggles of our lives, what confronts us seems so big to us, but it is not. We know not only that it's in God's hands, but that God's word here is so big. "Fear not, I have redeemed thee." So God says to us in this verse that souls that have been redeemed are freed from fear. Let's begin with this question. To whom is Jesus speaking? We read, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He is not speaking to everyone. He is speaking to those who have come to know their need and to know his love by his grace. He's speaking here to Jacob. He's speaking to Israel. And we know that the Apostle Paul in Galatians 6 calls the church of God, calls us as a church, the Israel of God, Jacob. And so he's speaking to Jacob and to Israel. Jacob, we all remember him. He was the heel holder. He was the man who of himself was full of himself, self-reliant, self-sufficient, conniving, a weak man so often in his faith, snared in his own ways, utterly dependent upon God. And then Israel, we remember that's the name that God gave to him when he wrestled throughout the night. It means prince with God. There, Jacob is the man who is drained of himself, finds no resource in himself, but casts himself upon God for his strength. So who is God speaking to? He's speaking to us who have been given to know our need and his perfect, gracious love for us. Now, if you inch your way up in Isaiah 43, you will discover a fuller picture of ourselves. And those verses speak of Judah as they are about to go into the captivity of Egypt. The former glory and those days are far from their sight, and Their former blessedness has been erased, and they are brought low, according to that context. They are robbed, they are plundered, they are spoiled, they are snared in their sins. And the conclusion in verse 24 is that there was none to hearken, that there was none to deliver them. There was none that said that they could be restored. They were in a position which was beyond all human help and resources. They were out of the realm of hope. And why? Why were they there? Because the Lord, verse 24, had brought all of these things upon them. Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, he against whom they sinned? And that's why the Lord had done that, because they had sinned against him. So when you finish reading verse 25 of chapter 42, you would simply conclude that that's the end. There is no hope. There is no place of strength and reliance for them anymore. There's only despair. God is going to turn away. And then you read those first two verses, those first two words. Isaiah 43:1. But now. Those are two of the most sweetest words that are found in the whole Bible. Pay attention to them. Look for them in the Bible. But now. They bring to us the most amazing contrast between what we would be of ourselves and what we would deserve and what God in his grace will do. Those words, but now, beginning the chapter, are more beautiful than any sunrise you have ever seen. For the darkness of our hopelessness and fears are dispelled when God says the words, but now. The whole gospel is in two words, but now. The total contrast of what we are and what we would have done and God, who he is and what he has done in his grace. Now, who is the one speaking? And here we can briefly see that he is speaking to us as the sovereign God. Listen to the words. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And so he's speaking there to us that God is the God who holds us firmly in his hand. He created and he formed. He did that physically. Our life, every aspect of our life, physically and the events around us, from mother's womb till at last we are laid in the grave, is all his creation, all God forming us, and he's forming us also through the trials that we're going through right now with the coronavirus. This is in his hand. This is not an accident. But we know that those words created and formed also apply to us not only in a physical way with respect to the events of our life, but they apply to us in a spiritual way, that we were created anew in Christ Jesus, and that God is forming us after the image of his own Son. And therefore, the control of God over all things in our lives always has a divine purpose. He is controlling all things for a good purpose, that we might be to the praise of his grace, says the apostle in Ephesians 1. So, who is speaking? The God who is forming and creating us through all things for his glory. He's the one who's speaking. Who are we listening to? Yes, we've listened to our government and its concerns for this virus, and we want to take all of those precautions. We've listened perhaps to the stock market and the plunge of values. We've listened to the fears of many. We've wondered about many things. There are so many voices coming to us every day. Who must we listen to? We must listen to the God who formed us and created us in Christ Jesus, and in whose hands we may fully trust that he will use everything for our good. And now, what is he saying to us? We know who he's speaking to. We know who is speaking. What does he say? Fear not. I have redeemed thee. Now we know that this idea of redemption is such a precious biblical truth. It means to buy back, to redeem, to ransom, to pay, ransom by paying a price. And the idea, you remember, is not simply an auction, but it's actually an auction block where a slave would appear who's going to be sold into further bondage and captivity. And a man steps forward and purchases, buys them out of that slavery so that the shackle around the neck and around the wrists and around the feet can be removed, and that they may be brought out of a dungeon and the wretched stench of a dungeon and be brought into sunshine. And here, as you remember in the Bible, the idea of redemption is even more, that the redemption that the man makes is in order that this slave might be adopted into the master's house and sit at his own table and be accounted as one of his own sons and daughters, and to be made an inheritor of all that the man possesses. So that these words refer to the redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ. It's Calvary. It's the words of Jesus in which he says to us that I have loved you even unto death, and I have washed you from your sins, and I have earned for you an everlasting inheritance. That's the word that he brings to us. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. The reason we don't have to live in fear is we have been redeemed in the blood of Jesus. The price was paid for our sins. We are heirs of grace. But now the point is that not only do we today look back to that redemption, we do that every day. That's our peace with God. But the point that God is making in the passage is that because he has redeemed us in that one moment of Calvary from our sins, he also is the God who continues throughout our life to redeem us from all of our distresses. On the basis of that one redemption, he redeems us from life's woes, sins, struggles, and hopelessness. And this is our great consolation. So, people of God, with me this morning, ask yourself this question as you're in your family, as we are well aware of all of the change of circumstances. Ask yourself this question, especially the aged, but all of us. How many times has God redeemed you out of the distress and troubles that you were facing throughout your life? Young couple, how many times has not God already redeemed you out of those moments when you went to bed and you were hopeless, when you confronted something that was so big and you thought there could be no good? How many times has not God already redeemed us from our distresses? We forget how many times, don't we? We can't count how many times he has brought us out of our sorrows and brought us out of our struggles and set us in that secure place again. We sing in one of the psalters, "Now Israel may say, and that in truth, if that the Lord had not with us remained, if that the Lord had not our right maintained." But he always did. He always will. The word of God to us this morning is that because the redemption was made at Calvary, our life will continue to be redeemed from all of our distresses, and that no matter what happens to us in this life, his grace is going to be sufficient, and he will provide a way for us to live and to glorify him as his children on this world. If his will is for us to be here, he will show us the way. He will provide that way. He will redeem us. And so he's saying to us, trust me. Confide in me. Follow me. Believe me. I am the God who has redeemed you in the blood of Christ and redeems you from every distress you face. Is that distress as a mother with all that has come, with the children home, and all the responsibilities and concerns even for food? And that distress as a father, your income, your livelihood, your business is going to go under perhaps. Is that distress as an aged person or as a child? I have redeemed you. God is saying to us, I delivered you from a far greater evil than coronavirus, than a ruined economy. That evil is sin, death, and hell. I opened your jackals. I brought you into my house. And now I am going to provide for you in all of your need. And listen to the tone. Listen to the tone in which God speaks. There is no tone as the voice of God, so tender, so kind, so penetrating. Do you hear his voice? By his grace, do you hear the voice of Jesus? I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Fear not. Thou art mine. And that's the promise that God gives to us. Thou art mine. That is so humbling. That is so wonderful. Thou art mine. Always mine. Nothing can ever happen that will not make you mine. Thou art mine. What does that mean? Let's confess that together. Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And I'll give you a moment in your home perhaps to find that in your Psalter. And that will be found on page 3 in the back of the Psalter, Lord's Day 1. Shall we recite it together? I'll ask the question. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. Did you hear God's voice? As I said, many voices want to be heard today. Many voices within you are speaking, but did you hear his voice? Peace, he said, be still. It is I. Be not afraid. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the word of God. We pray that thou wilt bless these means of our family and individual worship in our homes today. Bind us, Lord, together in this precious truth. Dear Lord, today and in every day ahead, may we hear thy voice. Fear not. I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Amen. Let's sing together another Psalter, number 152. There are five stanzas to this number, 152. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in thee, in God I rest and praise his word so rich and free. Let's sing all five of those stanzas. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Let us sing the doxology.